In the name of Allah, the All-Beneficent, the All-Merciful.
Kulaini, Babawe, and Kashchi have, from authentic chains narrated from Mansur ibn Hazm that he said, I said to Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, that Allah Almighty is above the position than we may recognize him due to the creation, rather we must recognize or know the creation because of Allah. The Hazrat said, you have said the truth. I said, a man who knows that he has a Lord, should also know that the Lord also has anger and pleasure, that is, some deeds make him angry and some make him happy. Then it must also be understood that his pleasure or unhappiness can be known only through revelation or a messenger. So the one who does not get revelation should seek prophets, and when he meets them he must accept them, as the arguments of Allah, along with the miracles and signs given to them by Allah, and that it is a must to obey them. Mansur says, I told the Bakris and Umaris, was the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, a hoja or proof of Allah for the people? They said, yes. Thereafter I asked, after his departure who was the hoja? They said, the Holy Quran. Then I noticed that the fatalists and atheists who do not believe in the Holy Quran also argue with people through this Quran and win. So I understood that Quran cannot be the hoja of Allah, but it must be through a man who is able to explain the Quranic verses and who is fully aware of their meanings and who can explain it thoroughly. Then I asked the Bakris and Umaris, who is such interpreter of the Holy Quran? They said, Ibn Masud knows, Umar knows, Huzaifa knows. I asked, do they know the explanation of the entire Quran? They said, these companions know partly. In short, I could not find anybody except Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, who knew the meaning and the explanation of the whole Quran. So when in a community, if there is a thing about which every one of them says, I do not know the whole of it, and if only one says that I know it and he describes it correctly, then it is only Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Therefore, I testify that he is the protector, explanator, and maintainer of the Holy Quran, and his obedience is a compulsory duty of the entire creation, and he is the hoja of Allah after the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and whatever meaning of the Holy Quran he may show or whatever commands he may draw from it, are all correct and true. Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, O Mansur! May Allah have mercy on you. Hearing this I got up and kissed his holy head and said, Amirul Mu'minin al-Imam Ali, peace be upon him, did not pass away from this world, until he appointed a hoja behind him, and that hoja after Maulana Ali was al-Imam Hassan, peace be upon him, and I give witness that al-Imam Hassan was a hoja of Allah and his obedience was compulsory for the creation. Then Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, may Allah shed his mercy on you. So I kissed his holy head, and said, I testify that al-Imam Hassan, peace be upon him, also did not leave this world without nominating a hoja after him, just as was done by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and by his respected father, and after al-Imam Hassan, al-Imam Hussein, peace be upon them, was the hoja of Allah, and his obedience too, was obligatory for the creation. Hearing this the Hazrat again said, may Allah be kind to you. So again I kissed his head and said, I testify that al-Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, also did not depart from this world without nominating a hoja of Allah behind him, and that he was Ali ibn Hussein, peace be upon him, and to obey him also, was a must for all. The Hazrat said, may Allah be graceful to you. So I once again kissed his holy head and said, I give witness that al-Imam Ali ibn Hussein, peace be upon him, too, did not pass away before nominating a hoja of Allah behind him, and he was Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Hussein, peace be upon him, and to obey him also was the duty of the creation. Then the Hazrat said, may Allah be pleased with you. And I once again kissed his head and he smiled, and this continued until his own turn came and he knew that I was about to mention his name. In short, I said, your respected father did not leave this world, until he nominated his legatee as the hoja of Allah after him, just as his father had done, and I give witness that, by Allah, that hoja, are you, and it is the duty of all to obey you. Then the Hazrat said, this is enough for you. May Allah be pleased with you. I said, kindly extend your holy head so that I may kiss it. And he smiled and said, inquire from me whatever you may want, because after this I will not keep anything hidden from you.
There can be several reasons of Mansur's stating that Allah cannot be known due to creation, rather creation should be recognized because of Allah. First, the knowledge of the Maker is both obvious and natural, and therefore everyone on reaching the age of understanding comes to understand that someone has created him. Even those kafirs who deny his existence due to their evil interests and desires, turn to Allah in times of calamity and helplessness in sea or desert, and seek only his help. When they empty their hearts of selfishness, and ponder sincerely, they too understand that they are not creators of themselves, and they also follow that they are also not created by any being like them. As Allah Almighty says in the Holy Quran, and should you ask them, who created the heavens and the earth? They would most certainly say, Allah. On the background that, this verse might not be especially concerning the polytheists of Mecca. There are several traditions to elaborate that, we know the creation because of Allah, that is, the truth becomes manifest due to some miracles, which Allah shows through the hands of his messengers and legatees. Second, Allah cannot be recognized due to a resemblance with creation. Neither can we say that Allah is like the light of stars, nor can we say that some perfections found in creation, are in Allah. And we can know creation because of Allah, as it is He who has created them and made them manifest. The knowledge, recognition, and truths of all things are all obtained only from Him by the creations. Third, perfect knowledge of Allah and His perfect attributes cannot be known except through revelation, wahi, and intuition, ilham. Rather, we can know Allah through the intelligence given by Him, and through the signs which He has shown all around us, and within ourselves is a proof of His existence and perfect attributes. So also we can know the truth about His prophets and messengers through the miracles, which He has shown through their hands. Further explanation of this point is available in Bihar al-Anwar along with other proofs. The argument of Mansur ibn Hazm in support of the necessity of the Imam, and the truth about the truthful Imams, is stronger than all other arguments. It goes to prove that Allah Almighty has not created this creation aimlessly and uselessly. If they have no responsibility of any kind, and if they eat and drink and move about merely like animals, and if there is no other world, that is, the hereafter, the getting of the reward where is the main aim, then, of course, this world can be called aimless and useless. Because the sorrows and grief of this world are more than its happiness and relief, and there is not a single pleasure which does not involve or is not accompanied by many sorrows, and unhappiness. Even for preparing delicious food, one has to undergo a lot of labor and pain, and many a time after dining, one suffers many troubles and illnesses. Similar is the case with one's wife, from whom man gets a little pleasure, but he has to undertake a lot of labor and pain for providing her food and clothing and residential accommodation, etc. Likewise, one has to deal with all social necessities and even tolerate unpalatable behavior of one's mate. Likewise, a riding animal, if bought, does give comfort in a travel, but one has to bear many hardships for its maintenance and protection, etc., and in providing all the things needed by the animal. No different is the case with wealth of the world, which can give benefit, but for its earning and then protecting it from thieves, etc., one has to take many troubles and precautions, etc. Rather, each and every worldly pleasure is accompanied by sorrows and grief, always and without fail. Therefore, taking food becomes the means of removing the trouble of hunger, and drinking water is the cause of quenching the unrest of thirst. Copulation provides the way of removing the distress of semen. Similar is the case with all other pleasures, and all these delights turn into troublesome and detestable things at the very thought of the reality that this world is transient and passing, and that death is sure to arrive and all these things around us are to vanish. A very fitting example of this is that, suppose someone invites a group of people for a feast, in a dilapidated building about which people are of the opinion that it will fall down any time, and all the food, etc., provided therein will mix with debris, and that also many harmful insects and forest animals are likely to pounce upon them. Now if in this condition, the only aim of that feast is to taste a few morsels of that food, then every wise person will condemn the idea as the Lord Almighty says in the Holy Quran. What? Did you then think that we had created you in vain and that you shall not be returned to us? 23:115. This verse shows that, if there is no reward or punishment, on the day of resurrection, then the creation of the universe, is in vain and also aimless. It is thus known that, their creation is for gaining the hereafter, and it is also known that, obtaining of that world is not possible by doing anything without understanding. So it is necessary that the Creator of the universe also should appoint guides who may teach people the way of obtaining the hereafter through knowledge and worship. Therefore, in the time of the prophets or messengers themselves were such guides. Thereafter, it is essential that there must be someone to protect the Shariat and draw commands from the Holy Quran. So every argument, which demands sinlessness and awareness of all commands of Allah in a prophet, also calls for these attributes and qualifications in an imam too. Hence it is imperative that, the imam must have been appointed by Allah and the entire ummah is unanimous that such a divine order, Nas, is for none but Amirul Mu'mineen, peace be upon him. Therefore, he is invariably the imam, and even when the imamah has become doubtful among Ali, peace be upon him, and Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman, Maulana al-Imam Ali, peace be upon him, was the most courageous, pious and honorable among all. Hence it is essential that he ought to be the most suitable person for imamah, because intelligence says that giving a higher rank to one of a lower capability is improper. Moreover, the Almighty Lord says, are those who know and who do not know alike? Only the men of understanding are mindful. 39:9. And also, is he then who guides to the truth more worthy to be followed, or he who himself does not go aright unless he is guided? What then is the matter with you, how do you judge? 10:35. When the angels had imagined that they were more worthy than Adam for caliphate on earth, the Creator of the world had concluded his argument before them, through the knowledge of Adam, peace be upon him, and when Bani Israel did not accept the kingdom and rulership of Talut, Allah Almighty had described Talut's superiority on the basis of his knowledge and physique, which was a must for courage, saying, and he has increased him abundantly in knowledge and physique. 2:247. And the traditions of both the Shias and Bakris and Umaris have constantly agreed that all the companions, and the three caliphs, used to approach Amirul Mu'mineen for understanding verses and difficult commandments, and that he, the Amir, had never to seek guidance from them for the meaning of any verse or about any Islamic commandment. Similarly, in the time of Al-Imam Hassan, peace be upon him, when caliphate had become a matter of dispute between him and Mu'awiyah, then, notwithstanding the disbelief of Mu'awiyah, no wise person could have any doubt in the matter of Al-Imam Hassan's wisdom and perfection, and about the defects and shortcomings of Mu'awiyah. Likewise, there never was any doubt regarding the difference between Al-Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, and Mu'awiyah and Yazid, and thereafter between the innocent imams and the oppressive caliphs of their time. So it is on the basis of this argument that the imamah of all the imams is proved.